Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and presenting on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Verbal Reason, Amazon Music, and Apple Podcasts. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you commercial-free by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. On this Monday afternoon, we welcome you to a special 90-minute edition of the program about TV's current and future. The emphasis on future. We're happy to have you with us, 65 degrees at the top of the hour. And today, it's all about the world of interactive television, where it is at now and where it's going. Over the next 90 minutes, we're going to introduce you to two interactive ventures that may end up being on the ground floor and front and center of this interactive TV movement. And believe me, there is an interactive TV movement going on. In fact, this may end up being the interactive decade. In our first half hour, you're going to hear about Fireside, a service that started a couple of weeks ago and is already getting a lot of traction. It was co-founded by Mark Cuban, yes, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks and major Shark Tank Sharky. Plus, you're about to meet the co-founder and chief executive of the service, Balan Fatemi, to join us live from Napa Valley, California. And in our final half hour, we will revisit a service that we told you about last year called MedSign. It's an early example of telehealth on the TV set where just by you being where you are, a doctor can be where he is or she is and let you know how your medical things are doing. We'll have Thomas Conroy, he's the chief executive of MedSign, tell us about how things have gone since his first appearance last year on Tomorrow Be Televised and about where the whole idea of telehealth on television, your television set, may be going. And in a minute, we'll join in Atlanta, Nora Zimmet. She is the chief content officer at the Weather Channel. They got a very exciting Sunday night lineup that is in the process of unfolding. They had an original show premiere last night. Another show is premiering this coming Sunday night called Frozen Gold. It's all about some people who decide to go for gold in Greenland. And we want you, more than ever before, to be in on the conversation. So because of that, we do a few things a little differently today. Our show, as you just heard, is going commercial-free. We're going to have only one promotional break halfway through each half hour, a quarter after, a quarter of the hour. Our news notes section that we would normally have around this time, that is going to be going into the bottom of the hour, and we will have our classic trivia question of the week with two prizes in play. So we want to give you as much time as possible to find out about these two ventures, Fireside and MedSign. How do you do that? In part, you give us a call. Be interactive with our guests. The phone number you use is 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. And our chat room is open for business for you. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And we'd like to invite you, if you're listening, bring your friends aboard and have them get on the conversation as well. So now joining us live from Napa Valley, California, the co-founder and chief executive of our first interactive venture to showcase today, Fireside, Balan Fatemi. Balan, welcome in.
Thanks so much for having me.
So first of all, what is Fireside and what's it all about?
So at Fireside, we believe that the future of entertainment is interactive. And what we're building is essentially the first interactive platform that enables the best professional creators on the planet to create interactive audio video shows with an in-studio audience where they can literally hear the laughs, the claps, the reactions from their audience in real time as they create content and bring them onto the stage and have them be not just part of the show, but in the show. And on Fireside, all the show formats reflect this new entertainment medium. And happy to talk more about that today.
I understand that some of the ideas that you have made come to life on Fireside already, and it's only been a few weeks in operation. It's been, for example, the idea of Jay Leno taking you to a antique car show, and you get the opportunity to speak with him as he's looking over the cars, and maybe down the road even buying a car or buying antique memorabilia while the promo is on the air. Another, for example, is being part of a meditation, which Deepak Chopra, the famous philosopher, is part of, and you can meditate with him and everybody else who's along for that ride.
Yeah, so we're seeing entire new sort of show formats emerging and being invented by the creators on Fireside. For example, the Jay Leno one that you brought up, you know, he was live at the SEMA car show, and he was on the exhibit floor interacting with the president of SEMA and, you know, showing some of the cars there and talking about the new technologies while hearing the virtual in-studio audience on Fireside asking questions, laughing and clapping at his jokes. And it was it's kind of a new form of behind the scenes. And Deepak Chopra, like you mentioned, premiered his Mindful Moments show this morning. It was a interactive sort of meditation and a discussion. It's sort of the beginning of a really incredible conversation. And, you know, we're seeing, for example, also virtual watch-alongs like the cast of Entourage. Doug Ellen, the creator, and Kevin Connolly and Kevin Dillon, they have a show on Fireside called Victory Before the Pod, where they're actually watching Entourage for the first time in 10 years and interacting with the audience and sharing behind-the-scenes stories as well. And so we're seeing this across all different genres. I mean, there's even a True Crime Reporter. It's almost like an interactive Dateline where this Peabody Award-winning investigative reporter brought the audience with him to the scene of the crime of one of Texas's most notorious serial killers. And it's almost like an interactive FaceTime. It's literally showing this is the car wash where she was taken. This is where the witnesses heard her scream. And then someone showed up in that show whose sibling was murdered by the serial killer, which is incredible. Yeah. It's not something you could even plan.
How many creators or producers are now involved with Fireside? And any sense of how the audience is reacting or what kind of audience are you getting?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have over 500 creators on Fireside that easily have greater than 100 million in audience reach. These professional creators like the Jay Leno's, like the Deepak Chopra, you know, they're building media businesses. We have a huge contingent of comedians, authors, podcasters, filmmakers that have shows on Fireside, and it's only continuing to expand. And they are bringing in their in-studio audience. So like the best analog for the kind of audience that's coming in is sort of like the experience of SNL, where there's this intimate in-studio audience that's a part of the show that's highly engaged while the whole thing is being recorded and broadcasted live. Once you distribute that recording, you know, I think SNL goes from like 6 million during the live broadcast to then 100 million in consumption after the fact, once they clip it up and everything. And we're seeing a really similar trend as well. The platform is viral, and we're seeing a couple things. We're first seeing that as creators are premiering their shows and bringing in their audiences, those audiences not only consume that creator show that brought them in, they go and they follow five other creators as well. And then what we're also seeing is that just in the first 7 months, there has been 3.4 years of content consumed on the platform, 90% of which is from audiences that are engaged in the interactive features on Fireside. So really we're seeing a very strong correlation between interactivity driving more on-demand consumption.
Fallon, we're now in an environment where practically everybody has a smart TV set or a smart TV device, and they're watching tens of billions of hours of content and apps on that device every month.
Yep.
How are people seeing Fireside now, and when will Fireside come to a smart TV set or device near them if it is not running on those devices now?
So what's pretty incredible is we're actually, being approached by those, large media properties that create lots of content that we consume through a smart TV or cable television or whatever, that are really interested in leveraging the interactivity to create not just companion content, but really interesting and entire new entertainment formats that can be consumed also interactively through other devices. So that's coming. You mentioned in the beginning too, even with scripted as well, we're seeing a number of scripted projects that are also interactive being developed by creators on Fireside.
I want to come back to scripted because that is a very exciting opportunity. The idea of live scripted television,
going back
to the days of 1950s, early 60s television when a lot of dramatic programming, scripted comedy and drama was live. But I want to go back to the smart TV set thing. Are you hearing from the smart TV set makers themselves, whether it is LG, Samsung, Vizio, or device makers like Roku, Google with Chromecast, NVIDIA with Shield. We now have also two new smart TV set players. That's Amazon and Comcast, the parent of NBC Universal with X-Class. Are you hearing from them saying, hey, Fireside, be an app on my surf, be an app on my set, be an app on my device. Let people see you that way.
From that standpoint, not so much. I would say that just even if you look at sort of the traditional trends, especially of a new entertainment format, you largely see that kind of following a much more widespread adoption of that content, more so in the mass audience distribution phase. So I would say that that's definitely a realistic possible future, but it's just not something that we're at the stage at right now and engaging in those kinds of discussions yet. Because the reality is that kind of technology, in order to support an interactive format, you know, there's definitely some additional tech that needs to be built there.
Well, one thing that more and more smart TV sets and devices have now found is artificial intelligence built into the set of the device. We're talking about audio services like Alexa, Google Assistant, and Siri that allow you to control the set and how you use it with your voice as well as your remote control. And that opens up the door also for the opportunity of, while, let's say, one of your programs is on the air live, if somebody wanted to buy something that was featured on the product or get more information about the meditation service that Deepak Chopra is taking you to, you can do that, bang, on the spot with your voice.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's some really incredible technology that's happening. Right now, like you mentioned, the use cases around the voice is mostly, you know, when you know what you're looking for. You know, take me to this show on Netflix. But definitely that technology could be used and extended to other use cases as well, like you're talking about e-commerce and others. I think, you know, there's some privacy things that we need to be figured out there, of course.
Tell us about your background and how you and Mark Cuban and the other co-founders got together and said, let's make this project happen.
Sure. So, I mean, I was at Google quite early. I was the youngest employee there, started working there when I was 19. This is when the company had IPO'd and was focused on global expansion for a lot of the, you know, syndication partnerships where Google powered search and advertising for a lot of the biggest properties on the web. And then I spent the latter half of my 6 years at Google at YouTube. And YouTube started monetizing or doing rev share with creators around 2007. I joined sort of at the tail end of that. And it was a really interesting time. That's when Netflix was still renting DVDs. I believe had just started their streaming service. Blockbuster was still a company. And, you know, got to be a part of a lot of the early creator programs and frameworks that we were experimenting with there. Was a part of the team that helped launch YouTube Live. And we were also doing a lot of sort of branded entertainment experiments as well and kind of looking at other channels for monetization for creators in partnering up brands with them that were not ad-based. Really got to see the sort of overall evolution of online video and also the gap that powerful distribution platforms like a YouTube left for these professional creators to not just produce and then distribute content easily, but actually to just build a media business. And back then, you would have never thought that, like, you know, Mr. Beast would have, you know, a burger franchise as we do now. And really what we're seeing is there, you know, with the rise of the creator economy, that really there's a big opportunity for, you know, we're seeing that the building of the media empires of the future. And Mark and I, you know, after that, I spent 6 years in the startup world. I started an AI company, which I also worked with Mark on, and then sold that and started Fireside. And I've known Mark over 10 years. We've worked on a number of projects together. And given his experience with Broadcast.com, really having put streaming on the internet, this is sort of the next generation of that, and it just made sense to build this together. And there is an AI aspect. You're talking about AI. There's a pretty big AI aspect to what we're doing as well. You know, the sort of holy grail of understanding, you know, quality content really comes down to understanding how audiences are reacting to that content as they're consuming it live. Because if you know that, obviously in real time, you cannot just adjust what you say next, but also after the fact, you can actually create the hits as well. And that's a big part of our service for all of the professional creators and organizations that we work with. You know, the model is that they're able to accelerate and sort of building their media businesses and leveraging this interactive entertainment format, own their content, own their audience, own their distribution, monetize in multiple unique ways, and then ultimately get the insights that they need to ensure they're continuing to create, you know, essentially what's going to become the next hit.
Fireside is the first of our two interactive ventures that we're focusing on today on this episode of Tomorrow Be Televised. Tom and I have been with you live from New York, and we are joined live from Napa Valley, California, by Fallon Fatemi. She is the co-founder and the chief executive of Fireside. If you have a question or comment for her, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, the American Black Film Festival is going on as we speak down in Florida, both in person and virtually. And one of the things they're doing is they're not only running films, but TV pilots. We're going to have at least two of those pilots, maybe three of them, as our guests on Friday's show. One is called Last Bodega in Brooklyn. We'll have the creator, co-star, and director, Mazaiah Moonsamy. And we have a producer from Austin, Texas, named Ashley Robinson, who did a pilot down there called The Electrics. Also on the program, which will be another 90-minute episode, we'll find out from the folks at BitMovin how they see the future of television with one of their vice presidents, Igor Opener. Plus, we'll have David Morgan, the president of the Multicultural Media Correspondents Association, and get his thoughts about the state of diversity on television and where multicultural television is going. It's all coming up, another 90-minute episode for you live, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Fallon, how much of an issue or how much, what was the pitch, actually, that you and your colleagues gave to a Jay Leno, to a Deepak Chopra, to a Doug Ellen, the creator of Entourage, to say, hey, come aboard with us. Take a chance on us and the kind of interactivity we're doing.
You know, it wasn't really much of a pitch when it really just came down to as simple as this is now an entire new way to connect and actually interact with them as part of your show. And for someone like a, you know, Jay Leno or Doug Ellen, who's, you know, very much discovered his passion in connecting with his audience and with people, you know, for a lot of the comedians on our platform, for example, this is part of why they're in the profession they're in. And, you know, especially if you're a touring comedian, you're going around and you're connecting with people, you're doing crowd work, you're hearing that real time feedback from your audience, you know, laughing at your jokes or perhaps crying or leaving if you, you know, say something that perhaps doesn't resonate with them, but you're getting that real-time feedback. You know, it's kind of like even on this show, right? You're asking people to ask questions. Now imagine that people can laugh and clap at everything that we are saying, and that can sort of adjust what we say next. I mean, that's really the power of interactivity, and then with the kind of creative freedom that our virtual production studio enables them to do from anywhere, and making the whole creating process of a show as easy as a phone call and able to create in one place and distribute everywhere natively, whether it's YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitch, whether it's distributing as a podcast in one tap. What we're also doing is streamlining their ability to create that quality content and make it as easy as a phone call to, you know, get on the phone and create an incredible interactive show with their audience. So, you know, I think you brought up the sort of early days of entertainment where everything was live broadcast and then, you know, really became the rise of the on-demand streaming. Now we're seeing examples even on, you know, platforms like Twitch where creators are hacking that tool that doesn't have the primitives of interactivity built in, being really just a chat feed and a video screen to try and get that kind of interactivity. And we've built essentially the next generation of that where interactivity is the tentpole of everything, of all the shows and all the show formats, and it's a game changer.
By the way, the current head of Google recently stated in public at an event that he believes that in time television is going to become a computer, so the video computer where we'll do all sorts of things that you can think of now and maybe are still in people's imaginations. So he's very high on the future of interactive TV and the future of just where TV overall is going.
Totally. I mean, you could even see some of these signs with public companies like Roblox, which if you think about it, sure, is it a gaming platform? Yes, but also it's turning into an entertainment platform. There's concerts like the Travis Scott concerts that are happening in the metaverse, in all these different worlds that are created, which is just, you know, who would have thought? that that would happen this soon. And there's an entire ecosystem of new technology startups that are cropping up to support this kind of not just interactive, you know, entertainment formats, but also we're seeing a convergence of interactivity with gaming, with entertainment and media. I mean, it's incredible where we're going.
Yeah. 3 years ago, a independent production company did a live science fiction drama series with interactive elements called Over the Redux. We covered them when they were doing it through Legendary Television and a service that was running on smart TV sets and devices called Alpha, no longer around. The replay of that whole series is now running on Dust, which is Gunpowder and Sky's science fiction channel, also available on smart TV sets and devices. We talked with the folks behind that studio. They are now working on more live science fiction and other concepts for television. Now, you're saying that you're already getting, early on your run, scripted concepts. What kind of scripted concepts are you getting, and what does that portend for a whole scripted future for interactive TV?
So, I mean, we've seen examples of the sort of choose-your-own adventures. You know, with Netflix actually dipped their toe in that with Bandersnatch, you might remember a couple years ago. So, I mean, as it relates to scripted, there's certainly examples of the sort of choose your own adventures, but a bit more interactive. We're seeing even improv being layered into it as well. So there's a lot of really interesting kind of scripted shows that I can't talk about at this stage, but you have to stay tuned for, that are in development that will be premiering as well.
Mm-hmm. How are you and Mark Cuban and everyone involved with Fireside getting the word out to the public that you're on, and B, there are places where you can get it? I have yet to hear CNBC or Fox Business Network or Bloomberg or websites like TechCrunch or News.com or Engadget have any stories about Fireside. The way we were able to find out about you was through a press release. So I'm wondering, how are you getting the word out? Is this a case of people are finding you by word of mouth and just by, you know, catching you in action, as opposed to seeing a CNBC report where Mark or you are on and talking about the virtues?
So actually, we have been covered by TechCrunch, Variety, number of Deadline, Reuters. So there's definitely been some coverage, but the platform has been viral for a while now. And the way that it has, you know, gone that way is really through the creators, because the creators choose who they're bringing in, who's a part of their show. They bring in their guests, they create with them, they distribute it out. And Fireside's vehicle is essentially a virtual production studio. They can literally create a show on their phone. They can do it on a desktop. And when they create and are recording their show live, it can be consumed from anywhere. It can be simulcasted to YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitch, and consumed wherever their audiences are there. It can be consumed through a browser. The recordings can also be consumed publicly as well. Or you can just download Fireside from the App Store. So a lot of it has been word of mouth through the creators, through their audiences, and obviously a number of the pieces that have been also covering Fireside have helped bring in more awareness. But it's been very organic.
Before you get on live on smart TV sets and devices, have you thought about using them as, let's say, a second window for the content? So the content runs on Fireside first, and then it runs on smart TV sets and devices until you are able to get a live application going. It reminds me of Quibi, where Roku is now running Quibi programming, whether it originally appeared there or it didn't, and they're also now going to be renewing shows, by the way, because of their play on Roku.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, no, I definitely see a play there.
I believe we have a call, so we're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name, and where are you calling from? Let's see if we get that caller on. Well, while we wait for the caller to come on, let's talk metaverse, because you mentioned it a moment ago. What role can TV play in the metaverse, especially if you hear it from Mark Zuckerberg, the head of Facebook? Facebook has a smart TV device called Portal TV. It currently does video chat. It does augmented reality as well. And yet I haven't heard Mark Zuckerberg say a thing about the role TV can play in that. What's your thoughts? Do you think TV has a role to play or can play a role in this metaverse universe.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think the same way, you know, I brought up that Travis Scott concert example in the metaverse. You know, there's the same kind of opportunities exist for you know, TV as well. I mean, it could be a place to announce, you know, do a special marketing announcement. It could be where you host a, you know, metaverse discussion or, you know, about the making of something. I mean, there's so many possibilities. It's just a different, you know, audience and vehicle and sort of marketing experiential activation that's really interesting to explore and certainly reaches a audience that doesn't really watch TV anymore. I think it's really exciting to kind of be seeing some of the examples that have especially cropped up in the last year.
Mm-hmm. To our caller, by the way, I believe it's area code 310. For some reason, we're getting a glitch. So if you call back 646-652-2906, call back. We'll get you on as fast as we can before our half hour is up. What are some of the fireside attractions you can talk about that are coming up, let's say, the rest of November?
Sure. So that True Crime Reporter show, they are doing a ride-along and perhaps bringing the audience with them to where the bodies were buried for a couple of serial killers that they're covering. We have a lot of comedians that also will go live in the green room before they go on the stage and sort of, you know, engage with the in-studio audience on Fireside and engage with the other comedians. As well. So there's definitely going to be a couple of those. Daniel Pink, who's a six-time award-winning New York Times bestselling author. He's a behavioralist as well. He's got a book coming out about regret. He's got a show called What's Your Problem, and which is 100% interactive. It's an example of a show format that's only possible on Fireside. He's got a rotating set of co-hosts. His first co-host is Bob Saget. His second one with Lisa Lampanelli. The audience comes up and shares what their problem is. Could be anything. And they workshop it live, jokes and everything. And he's got another one coming up as well this month, which is going to be pretty exciting. I believe it's going to be with another comedian as well. Let's see, there's just so much that's happening. You can check it out actually on our website, firesidechat.com.
And I believe we now have our caller ready to go on the line. I hope. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? That person dropped off. Let me see if – yep, person dropped off, unfortunately. So, all right, well, we tried, and we apologize for that if you were trying to get
through.
How
about this? How about the next time we record this, we do it on Fireside, and we can have them come up to the virtual stage with you?
That'd be great. I'm up for that. All right, I think we may have this person. Let's see if third time is a charmer. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Go ahead. Hello, you're on the air. Oh, that person dropped again. For some reason, we're having a drop with that line, and we apologize for that. So anyway, like Fallon said, if you want to find out more about Fireside and what it's up to and when it will be coming to a smart TV set or smart TV device with you, here's where you go online. It's www.firesidechat.com. It's www.firesidechat.com. There's no question that this interactive service is off the races. And it may be coming, probably will be coming, to a smart TV set or device near you in some manner. So watch out for it. We will be monitoring the situation as it unfolds, and we'll probably have Fallon back at a future date. And Mark Cuban, we'd love to have you on also. So invite open for you too. Fallon, thank you so much for being on. Thank you for sharing Fireside with us. Congratulations on the early success, and hopefully much, much more to come.
Thanks so much.
You're very, very welcome. Take care. Enjoy the rest of the week.
You too.
Fallon Fatemi joining us live from Fireside from Napa Valley, California. Coming up in our next half hour, we will have the Chief Content Officer of the Weather Channel, Nora Zimmet, will join us. They're doing some very interesting things now on Sunday nights with some new shows in prime time, and that's not all. We'll talk to Nora live from Atlanta. Plus, we will have our classic trivia question of the week, and there are two prizes in play. If you're a Betty White fan, pay attention, because her brand new book about her career, 100 Remarkable Moments in Extraordinary Life. Ray Richmond, the writer that was on our show a week ago, you'll be able to get that book if you know the answer. It's all coming up after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet. www.blogtalkradio.com, Spreaker.com, and TuneIn.com, together reaching over 65 million listeners, there we go, around the world every month, and growing. Check out Paragon Radio tonight, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:00 p.m. Pacific. It's a very different kind of radio for you. Paragon Radio tonight, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best of each hour 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to more of our 90-minute, very interactive edition of Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Found out I'm with you live from New York, 65 degrees at the top of the hour. More great guests coming away in the hour ahead, including another interactive venture, MedSign. And we'll talk about that and the whole idea of telemedicine on TV. That's coming up at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for our guests up ahead, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, time in Apple 04 by name. If you just tuned in, our show is commercial-free this afternoon. We're only doing one promotional break per half hour, roughly around quarter to the hour in this half hour, and then quarter after the hour in our next. Well, now joining us live from Atlanta, the Chief Content Officer at the Weather Channel, Nora Zimmet. Nora, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Simon.
So, Nora, you're doing some interesting things in prime time lately. What are those things?
Well, thanks for asking. We are very excited to announce two brand new series at the Weather Channel. The first one, called Uncharted Adventure, premiered last night. It is a travel show with host Mike Corey, but it's really exploring off the beaten paths of cities, towns, countries you thought you knew, but you've definitely never seen it like this. And then the second program that we're very excited to premiere this coming Sunday at 8 o'clock is called Frozen Gold. And that one is about six professional gold prospectors who are dropping everything and have lost a lot to travel to Greenland to prospect for gold and hopefully turn their lives around.
We're going to have more from Nora in a moment. If you have a question or comment for her, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And as promised, after the bottom of the hour, we've got some news note quickies for you. Paramount Plus will go forward with a second season of animated Star Trek Prodigy, the series originally developed for Nickelodeon. More renewal activity, Cameron Hall's daytime syndicated talk hour will continue through spring 2024 under a two-year contract extension. Kenan Thompson will host this year's People's Choice Awards, simulcast December 7th over NBC and E. And in case you missed this tidbit from the weekend, be advised, be strongly advised, season 4 of Stranger Things has a deal to kick off next summer on Netflix. That is news notes for now. How long, Nora, has these two shows been in the hopper for? It sounds like this is the biggest move in original primetime programming since the days of Storm Stories and other shows like that.
Well, I would certainly say they are big forays into our action, adventure, weather, and, you know, nature, man versus nature. We've been doing original programming for some years, and we have been fine-tuning our strategy. And what we heard from audiences is they really want vicarious experiences, especially in this age of international pandemics. And they want character-driven stories. And so that's exactly what we're delivering with these two shows.
Let's talk first about Frozen Gold, which is premiering next Sunday. One of the things that cable has been noted for has been all these shows about gold in Alaska and people or other parts of the United States and people prospecting for them. But this one is quite different because rather than stay in the United States, you have U.S. citizens who are going not just overseas, but like near the top of the world, if you will, in Greenland to find that gold.
That's right, Simon, and no one's doing this. I mean, there's a reason why this show has not yet been done, and it's because it's incredibly difficult to go to Greenland at all, go to Greenland during a pandemic, and then go to Greenland with six Americans to go make their fortunes in gold. What's really interesting about this show, and I'm glad you brought up some other prospecting shows, is that this show is based in science. And the science of what? Well, the science of climate change and global warming. The only reason that this show even exists as a concept is because as the glaciers and permafrost melts in Greenland, what's happening is it is unearthing all of this soil that has been harboring gold for arguably centuries. And it's only really through a warming climate that this land is becoming accessible to humans. So that's exactly what this team went over to do, which is prospect for gold in an area that hasn't been touched before, unlike a lot of these Alaska shows.
Mm-hmm. How were these subjects picked? What did the producers do to find people willing to go to Greenland and take this journey?
Well, it's a great question. We went through hours and hours of submissions and interviews and character reels, and all of these people are authentic. We wanted to make sure we were putting together a team that had an opportunity for success. So we have characters here, all of whom have either professional mining experience, science backgrounds, construction backgrounds. They all play a role. We decided, let's pick the group that we think is going to be able to work the best together, can create the best team based on their skill set and experience, and who we think can really withstand the elements. Because in addition to everything you would anticipate would be in Greenland, which is the cold and the storms and this very short window of prospecting before winter comes in, you also have a lot of threats that you might not anticipate, such as some very close calls we had with polar bears over there.
Mm. Now let's go to Uncharted Ventures. You have this world traveler, Mike Corey. Did he come to you or you to go to him in terms of putting this series together?
So we went to Mike, again, another search for the host that we thought would be right. And we talked to all these wonderful potential hosts who had had a lot of travel experience and had done shows with various other networks or even magazines. But none of them possessed the same amount of energy and sense of adventure. Mike Corey is not only a world traveler, he's a biologist. So he looks at nature and the world through a lens of science, which of course is what we do at the Weather Channel. And Mike doesn't have a home address. When we interviewed Mike to do some promotion for the show, he was in Turkey. When we interviewed him to participate in the show, he was in Africa. Mike is a natural wanderer and, as a result, has a curiosity about places and people and communities that you don't find everywhere. And so while some of the places that are featured in Uncharted may sound familiar and may sound like, oh, you know, been there, done that, went there for a family vacation, you've never seen them like this. He embeds with communities. He gets to know people in areas like the Everglades, where there are communities of indigenous people who won't let other people in to explore around. But he stays overnight and lives off the land. So he's a really exciting, dynamic person who has an almost childlike sense of wonder. Is also, I don't want to say fearless, he hates it when I say that, but he is so brave and puts himself into situations with a camera that I can only say I wouldn't go.
Mm-hmm. Take us into his thought process for a few moments. How does he determine where I'm going to go, what I'm going to do, how am I going to do it and get there?
Another great question. I would say that Mike comes to it from a place of, what are the surprises? What are the hidden gems? Where is the beauty in a land that everyone may not have seen? He is innately curious. He loves to meet new people. And so often, as he researches places, he'll come and talk to people that will lead him to the ultimate best place. That is how he actually came upon an extraordinary place in Belize called the Black Hole. We go to Belize and we go to beaches and we do nature walks and maybe an adventurous zip line. Mike goes to Belize and he goes so far into this underground cave that he literally came up with human skulls from the Aztec era and various other human sacrifice artifacts. I mean, that's what I mean when I say he goes off the beaten path. But you can only do that if you get off your guidebook and you get off Google and you go and talk with the people who live there.
I believe we may have a call, so let's see if we do. Finally, at last. I know we've had some issues with the phone. Okay, let's try it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Go ahead, you're on the air. Hello? Yep, go ahead, you're on the air. All right, for some reason, that person is not with us, so hopefully try again, and we'll see what happens. Now, with this schedule, you have Uncharted Adventure already running at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Frozen Gold starts this Sunday night at 8, that's an hour earlier, and then an hour after, you've got the return of one of your most popular shows.
That's right, Deepwater sorry. Yes, that is correct. The Weather Gone Viral. I'm so sorry.
Which is coming back for season 7.
Yes, it's Weather Gone Viral, season 7, back by popular demand. This show we launched several years ago, and it became sort of an overnight sensation. And obviously the premise is lots of viral weather clips taken from all over, and our meteorologists really talking about them and sort of unpacking what they're seeing. And sometimes they're scary and sometimes they're funny, but this has become a real fan favorite, and we're excited to bring it back.
Mm-hmm. When you do a show like that, dealing with viral clips, how do you determine what gets on? I mean, do you look at the quality of the clip? Do you look at the length of the clip? Do you look at, is this, not just your typical look at a tornado or a typical look at a hurricane or a typical look at, a wildfire?
I think it's all of the above. I think, we try to put ourselves in our viewers' positions and say, what haven't I seen before? Or what angle haven't I seen before? With the advent of Ring doorbell and all of these new cameras that people have outside their houses, we're getting footage of things that wouldn't otherwise be safe to take, right? Crazy lightning strikes that are splitting trees or roofs getting blown off in a storm. So the volume of material we are getting now wouldn't have even been possible 10 years ago. And I think it's giving us more access to dangerous and deadly weather without putting anyone's lives in danger. And that's what's really exciting about it. People really like to see storms. They like to see dangerous conditions, but from the comfort of their living room. And that's what this show can provide.
Mm-hmm. Do you see this Sunday night lineup being a precursor to doing a similar situation on Saturday or on other nights?
Well, I think we'll have to see. What we're also talking about doing a lot more of when we launch our direct-to-consumer app, Weather Channel Plus, is offering viewers the opportunity to binge watch a lot of these series. And I know you talked with your prior guest about interactive content. We want to be able to have our viewers and our fans choose their own adventure. And so part of that involves being able to go on Weather Channel Plus when it launches early next year, and be able to say, I want to watch all of Uncharted Adventure at once. I want to watch all of Frozen Gold. We are on season 7 of Weather Gone Viral. Let's binge watch all the 6 seasons beforehand. So in addition to thinking linearly and how we would program the cable network, we're thinking digitally in a very 360 way to make sure we're meeting viewers and fans where they are.
Given that we just had Fireside on, would you be interested in a conversation with them, let's say, about having one of your Weather Channel personnel, like Jim Cantore or Stephanie Abrams or somebody else, bring viewers live, if not in the actual forecast time they're on, but let's say the hour or half hour before they go on the air to sort of let them see the process, the sausage making, if you will, of doing forecasts and answering their questions live on Fireside?
I mean, we are open to all kinds of conversations. Obviously, when Clubhouse came out, people thought that was going to be sort of the platform that broke the proscenium, if you will. Certainly we interact with our fans and viewers all the time on social media through TikTok and Facebook and Instagram. So we are looking for all sorts of new opportunities to be able to react with our fans, because if we know anything, it's that weather is the one story that the audience can participate in. So they wake up with us every morning. Sometimes, you know, we're on in the background while they're up doing their day, and certainly when a storm hits, we're the first ones that they come to. So any way that we can be accessible to them, we will explore that.
You're hearing Norma Zimmet. She is the Chief Content Officer of the Weather Channel. She joins us live from their headquarters in Atlanta, Georgia, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Time with you live from New York. Delighted to have you with us on this special 90-minute commercial-free edition of the program all about TV's current and future. If a question or comment for Nora, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Next Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, you'll meet a director who straddles between movie-making and TV-making. Right now, he's in the TV-making mode. His name is Andy Fickman, and his latest project as both director and executive producer is the upcoming Disney Channel movie, Christmas Again. It takes place in Chicago, and there's a lot of Groundhog Day in it, too. Andy Fickman from Christmas Again on the Disney Channel, which premieres on December 3rd. He's with us live a week from today, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Nora, a couple weeks ago, we had Ad Week New York at Hudson Yards, and at a special breakfast presentation, Vizio and Magid put together some elements of a study they're releasing this month about viewer interest in what they can get on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And one of the most interesting parts of that study, and I don't know how many people participate in it, is that anywhere from 40 to 50%, over 50% of the people surveyed would like to see certain interactive TV applications happen. One of the few that was over 50% was the ability to interact with both weather and traffic reports. Where do you see interactivity to some degree coming into play with the Weather Channel?
I'm so happy you mentioned that. That is where Weather Channel Plus comes in. Weather Channel Plus, as I stated previously, is our connected TV device launching direct to consumer in February. And in addition to hosting the linear channel that we have on cable that people are familiar with, there is going to be so much content on the app to be able to provide information, provide the latest storm reports, have a VOD library with all of the shows that we've been talking about, have short-form content that explains the weather, brought to you by all your familiar meteorologists that we have on TV, and a huge interactive component. I can tell you we are working on a feature where people will be able to see any storm in the world live and choose their own adventure, if you will, by manipulating cameras to point them where in the direction of the storm. This is really going to be weather on steroids, and it is going to bring a level of personalization to people that they have never had before when it comes to the weather.
How are the conversations going with smart TV set and device makers about taking Weather Channel Plus?
Oh, it's great. We're well down the road. We're already available, authenticated on several of the connected TV applications and devices, and we're about to announce many, many more.
Mm-hmm. One of the projects at TWC that's been long talked about is a separate Spanish language television service, the Weather Channel Español. Where do we stand on that?
Launching in April, could not be more excited. We are in a big hiring frenzy, if you will. This channel will be led by our editor-in-chief, Susie Ruiz. She comes to us with a long history at Univision and Telemundo, and also as a professor at the University of Texas. She is incredibly dynamic. We have, it seems that we're hiring people now every week. The studio is being built and almost done, and we cannot wait to launch this service in April.
Mm-hmm. Are you finding in preparing for this that there are certain features that Latinos would like to see either more of or that they can't find on the current Weather Channel format that will be part of Español?
Well, I think what's important to understand is we're launching a network that isn't just a cut and paste of the English language network. This is not just the English language network dubbed over into Spanish. This is a network that is going to delve into the culture of so many of the Spanish-speaking people in this country, and it's going to focus on the communities in this country that are often overlooked and underserved when it comes to storms. I don't think most people recognize that of the billion-dollar disasters that NOAA tracks year in and year out and has been doing for decades, the highest volume of them are in 10 states. And of those 10 states, they happen to have the highest concentration of Spanish dominant speakers. So basically, these communities have been underserved by the weather because they're not getting it in their language, and yet they're disproportionately affected by storms and severe drought and other kinds of weather phenomena. So again, we might have a huge story in the lower 48 that's in an area that has a English dominant speaking community. That might be the biggest story on the flagship network, but if there is a massive drought, as we know there is, in parts of Southern California or Arizona, or a massive landslide like we had the other day in Colombia, that'll be the lead on the Spanish language network. So again, yes, there are certainly different types of stories we'll be covering on the Spanish language network than the English language network, because the communities and the viewers need different things from us.
Mm-hmm. Sometime back, the Weather Channel launched a separate service called Pattern, which deals with issues of the environment, climate change, warming, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. First of all, we haven't heard a lot about the programming on the service. What is the programming like on Pattern, and how is it doing?
Pattern's doing great. And in fact, you're asking at a great time because we are on week two of gavel-to-gavel coverage of COP26 in Glasgow. We have a team there. We have been covering it literally around the clock, such that we are taking all the sessions as they come, doing a special 8 p.m. Eastern show, and in between putting in other related interviews, packages, and other content regarding COP26 and climate and the environment. We launched Pattern back in 18 as a Twitter service, if you will, to talk about weather and environment, and found that there was a real gap in the marketplace for all things climate. And then we built it out into a 24/7 climate channel that's now accessible on Tubi, Plex, Local Now, and we're about to announce a few more platforms that we just signed deals with. We have seen the traffic on our website, which also hosts the live stream, as well as all our Pattern social media channels, explode over the past 10 days since COP26 started. Clearly people hungry for this, and also because we are the only U.S.-based network that is covering the conference the way we're covering it. We're really the only U.S. streaming network that's covering climate change the way we are, and we're doing it because we know there's a hunger in this country. We know from research and great institutions like Yale 360 that Americans want to know more. Especially Americans under the age of 45, and they're starting to make decisions based on climate because it affects their pocketbook, their home equity, their insurance, their groceries. So Pattern is the destination for that, and we're also seeing a ton of advertisers flock to Pattern, which we're really excited about because it really helps make the point that everyone is responsible for ESG, and everyone, especially big corporations, need to mind their business when it comes to sustainability.
Final question, Nora. A number of years ago, your service was one of the pioneers with augmented reality sequences to showcase the weather, and at that time, a very unique way using augmented reality technology. Now we're seeing on the local level, stations like WABC-TV here in New York, Channel 7, use augmented reality as a daily part of its forecast. Other TV stations are doing it as well. You've got Portal TV, which is now doing augmented reality in terms of storytelling, where people from their home can become characters through AR. How do you see AR as a future for the Weather Channel and for TV overall?
Yes, we were the pioneers in this, and it is completely expected to see other people join the fray. But for us, augmented reality and what we call immersive mixed reality is a tool. It's not a toy. It's necessary to illustrate scientific fact because our business is telling the future. And so to create the future of which you don't have any video, it's necessary to visualize it differently. So a lot of these other networks and, you know, some of the sports networks do it as well. They use augmented reality in a way that's a nice to have. It's not a need to have. It's a toy. It's pretty. It's window dressing. We do it to show what really happens if you're going to be a victim of storm surge and why you need to get out of your house. We show you what snow stacks really look like. We show you why Charleston floods in fair weather, and we were just there recently for the King Tides, because of climate change. The best way to do that is to visualize it with augmented reality. And, you know, we're on the bleeding edge. It's why we just won our second Emmy a month ago for our virtual views, which is data-driven weather in the studio to show what it looks like outside. Still, no one can do the types of things we do. It is great to see everybody jumping in on the fray, and we will just continue to push the limits and be several steps ahead.
The Weather Channel will be in full force with its new Sunday Night Live original programming this coming Sunday night. It kicks off at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time with Frozen Gold, the brand new series. Then at 9 p.m., already 1 week old, on return of Weather Gone Viral at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Check your local link for the Weather Channel is available in your area on cable and satellite, along with Pattern, available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. For more details about all of the Weather Channel services, including the new ones coming up next year, Weather Channel Plus and the Weather Channel in Espanol, go to www.weathergroup.com. That's www.weathergroup.com. Nora Dimmitt, Chief Content Officer of the Weather Channel, thanks so much for being with us the last half hour. It's been a pleasure all the way. Congratulations on what you've been accomplishing at TWC this year so far, and this new Sunday Night Primetime schedule, and much more in 2022, and I have a hunch we're going to be having you back pretty soon.
Thanks so much. Looking forward to it.
Same here, Nora. Take care. Have a great week ahead.
You as well.
Nora Dimmitt from the Weather Channel joining us live from Atlanta, Georgia, their headquarters. And, of course, the Weather Channel is owned by Allen Media Group, headed by media kingpin Byron Allen. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week. Second week in a row we're offering this question. If you're first with the correct answer, we have not one but two prizes now in play. First, the unofficial Hocus Pocus cookbook, inspired by the 1990s hit movie starring Bette Midler, who will be repeating her role in the upcoming Disney Plus sequel to that film that's being put in production now. And our second prize, we told you about it a week ago when we had Ray Richmond. He's the author of Betty White, 100 Remarkable Moments in Extraordinary Life. I had a chance to see the book over the weekend. It's a fantastic book, and now we're offering that as our second classic trivia prize this week. And yes, it's that Betty White question again, so here it is. What was the last TV series Betty White hosted? What was the last TV series Betty White hosted? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If you're first with the correct answer, you win. If you don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. So get in on the game today. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So do so, and all the very best. We have time at the end of the program. We'll repeat the question. So once again, check it out. And if we don't get the winner by the end today, look us up tomorrow morning on Facebook and Twitter for that question and your chance to win both the unofficial Hocus Pocus cookbook and Betty White, 100 extraordinary moments, 100 remarkable moments, excuse me, in extraordinary life. When we come back, we will revisit another interactive venture we first had in this program more than a year ago, NetSign. Thomas Conroy, the chief executive, joins us after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 65 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you're dealing with colon cancer, check out a BTR program called Back in Control. It will tell you about some alternative ways you can deal powerfully with that situation. Back in Control Colon Cancer takes place Wednesday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. That's Back in Control Colon Cancer, Wednesday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our final half hour of this very interactive 90-minute edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Well, he's just joining us at the top of the hour. Tom and I'm here with you live from New York, 65 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for our guest, give us a call, 646-652-2906. 646-652-2906. Number good anyway, or catch us across the country around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio. Plus, we've got our chat room business for you, SimonApple04 by name. Find it at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And remember, you can connect to us by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk Speaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions on the team live with you. And for those of you just joining us, we are a commercial-free episode today, and we'll only have one promotional break in this half hour, roughly around quarter after the hour. In case you missed it, we already showcased one of two interactive ventures we are featuring today, and that's Fireside, the venture co-founded by Dallas Mavericks owner and Shark Tank lead shark, Mark Cuban. Now it's time for our second interactive venture to showcase today. It's one that we first brought to your attention more than a year ago called MedSign. It's one of the first examples of what people are calling telehealth over the television set. And here to talk about it is the chief executive of that venture, back with us, Thomas Conroy. Thomas, welcome back in.
Hi, Simon, and please call me Tom. A little less formal.
Tom, you got it. Where are you calling us from today?
I'm actually I'm in New York City itself today, along with you, and it's a beautiful day outside, as you can tell.
Absolutely. Beautiful. Better than expected degree-wise, thanks to Weather Channel. And, of course, we just came off a fantastic New York City Marathon, more than 33,000 runners doing their thing in the five boroughs of New York. So hope you had a chance to see that if you can during your time there. Thomas, bring us up to date on MedSign. Where are you at now compared to a year ago when we first had you on this program?
Sure, Simon, and I'm glad to tell your audience a little bit about MedSign itself and our product called Cortex. And just to refresh them, and thank you for having us. We were on about a year ago, and a lot has happened since then. And for the audience, we built a novel solution that integrates the home television set with our Cortex communication technology that enables us to reach millions and millions of seniors. And most of our clients and patients are seniors who live at home alone. And with our system, we allow them a virtual access to medical professionals, family and friends, products and services, all without the need of a computer and smartphone. And when you consider somebody like my dad's a 94-year-old World War II vet, still alive, using the system, and I'm here in New York, and Dad lives in Phoenix. And with the simple touch of the Cortex remote control, all he's got to do is press OK when it says, Tom Jr. calling, and he clicks OK. There I am on his television set, large as life. And since the time we talked, we're here at the Archdiocese of New York, the second largest archdiocese, and we have systems in what's called the PACE program, and that's a program that's all-inclusive, taking care of the senior from getting their meds to taking care of them at home to having caregivers. But the most important thing is your ability, and you've got to think about their mindset, the ability to be part of the outside world, and that's what Cortex does. It allows them to communicate with their loved ones, family and friends, and their physicians. And so we're very excited about it. And we have other systems across the country that are in play right now.
Yeah. How many people now can get this service and be able to talk with their doctors through the television set? And the doctors in return can also, I understand, as you said last time, showcase medical information like graphics, multimedia, x-rays, that kind of thing, to really illustrate what the patients are dealing with.
Well, you know, Simon, in the United States, we have 120 million households with at least one television set. And out of those 120 million, there's 50% of them have two TVs. so we can reach everybody. One of the questions brought on by the Veterans Administration, and we're dealing with them right now, is the ability to communicate and connect with veterans who live remotely in rural areas. And a lot of veterans do. For instance, we were asked about Alaska. Can we reach Alaska, the depths of Alaska? And, of course, part of my background is my acumen is I'm a senior retired Air Force officer. I worked with in a couple of intel agencies. So I know all about satellites. And so I checked with my good friends at Hughes and found out they got a footprint there. So a veteran who lives in the outskirts of Fairbanks or Anchorage or whatever can communicate with the Cortex system through satellites to anywhere in the United States. It's pretty exciting. So we have systems in operation in Florida, California, New York, of course. That's our lead, New Jersey, and other locations. So if you have a TV set built after 1995 and has an HDMI input, we can communicate with you. You can communicate with your doctor or your loved one all through your own television set in the home. It's pretty neat, to tell you the truth.
Any sense as to how many of these video visits take place, let's say, on a daily or a weekly basis?
Well, it's interesting. That's a great question. Not only do we have caregivers now, a study was done that in California, especially Los Angeles. You know how the traffic is there. A nurse there can visit six seniors a day, or a caregiver can visit six seniors a day when they do their rotation. And the reason why it's limited is because the traffic is hell. But now they can visit 30 a day through a telehealth session. So they can communicate on a daily basis. And the seniors now can communicate by calling out to the caregiver or family and friends anytime that they want. So you get it around the clock, actually. It depends on what the senior wants to do. If they want to talk to their grandchild, they click on our system there and says the grandchild's name and click on it, and it could be on the cell phone. So let me point out something. The Cortex system operates at the end user's home. But if you have an iPhone, you have a laptop, or any type of computer, you just log onto the website, and you can call grandma or grandpa any time of the day. Grandma and grandpa can also call you if you're part of their network. And that's an easy thing just by putting their telephone number in there, and grandma can click on it, and next thing you know, there's a grandchild on the television set. A huge area, Simon, that we're seeing and it's growing on us, which was, you know, I'm happy and sad for it. I'm sad that it's about hospice, but I'm happy that people now through our system, if grandma and grandpa are living in New York and their kids are scattered throughout the United States and they're in the hospice situation, call up grandma and it says Johnny calling, and all she has to do, or the caregiver presses okay, and there's Johnny on the TV set talking to grandma in her home. It's really a wonderful, humbling way of putting people together.
Yeah. Especially in hospice situations or where people are getting ready to complete life, put it that way. I don't want to be
right.
Too morbid.
No, but I'm happy and sad about it. I'm happy that the children that may not be able, or the grandchildren may not be able to travel wherever grandma and grandpa's located. It could be across the United States. And here they are now for the first time on a TV set, on a simple system that enables them to communicate with grandma and grandpa before they move on.
Mm-hmm. As you know, we are now seeing smart TV sets and smart TV devices that are being produced. Every single one of those manufacturers, whether it is Samsung, LG, Vizio, Hisense, or Roku, in the case of sets or devices like Roku and Chromecast and Nvidia Shield, now are incorporating artificial intelligence audio capability, services like Google Assistant, Alexa, Siri, et cetera, that allow you to control how you use the set, what you see on the set with your voice, as well as your remote control. Does your product now incorporate that kind of technology so that you can use, that a senior can use the set with their voice as well as with their remote control?
Another good question. That is the roadmap to our system, is the ability for the senior. We already have it built in. We're in test on it. But one of the things you got to consider when you're dealing with telehealth, you got to make sure, and all these television systems are not the same specifications. Eventually, they'll get there, just like VHS and Betamax and all those things in the past. Those of us that are older remember them. Their specifications are all different because they're competing against each other. But with our system, we don't care if you got an LG, Sony, it's irrelevant to us. We integrate ourselves in between your set-top box and the TV, and we can communicate no matter what type of television it is. So if I go back to one thing that's really important, it's HIPAA. And you have to have a super secure system to make sure that as you're communicating with the person at home, that the data is totally secure and the video is secure. And so when TVs finally get to that point, we'll migrate over. But for the time being, at least for we see for the next five to eight years, you really have to be super secure in your system. And the only way you do that is with a closed network. Let me also say that if you have to connect vital sign devices, Bluetooth devices per se, you also have to have that capability to communicate with the device. And right now, television sets don't do that.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that Corex also allows people to buy products and services through the TV set. What kind of products and services?
Well, part of that is sort of, let me just say this. We're in communication right now with several major companies that provide products around the United States, around the world, actually. And it would be the ability, for instance, the senior can look at a list of products right in front of them, like Depends, and not have to worry about going to a store like Walgreens or CVS and pick up the Depends, and sort of an embarrassing thing. When you can just click on it and purchase it directly, and then it's delivered to your home. And we're in the middle of that process. And I'll let you know more.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I just interrupted you.
No, you didn't. I was just saying Cortex is going to have already has some amazing capabilities. We'll give you the Archdiocese, for instance. All the seniors wanted to communicate with each other, and they wanted to pray together. How wonderful is it to see all the seniors online praying and communicating with each other? It's something to behold. And it's a peace of mind here. You know, we can all talk about keeping them healthy, but, you know, the mindset of a senior who's isolated in their home because of COVID or the fact that they don't have a loved one locally and being able to communicate with them on a TV. Remember, on the TV set, most of the seniors now have 50-inch, 60-inch, 70-inch TVs, and who's ever on the other end is a movie star on that TV. And we're working on right now just to finalize that there's some games and exercise programs that are senior-based. And, again, we're integrating some of these services, such as a senior can play the slot machine. And as they're playing the slot machine there with their hand, they hold a ball. And our system recognizes that colored ball as a hand. So when they go over and see a big, gigantic slot machine with a hand on it, you know, the one-armed bandit, they can move their hand down. And the slot machine gets activated. Well, what we're really doing there is we're doing passive exercising. So they're exercising their hands, they're exercising their legs. There's a ski program that we're going to incorporate here shortly, where they got to dump down and through these obstacles. It keeps them active. And the other things they've asked for is bingo. What senior doesn't know how to play bingo? So we would have an interactive bingo game on the system here so that anybody can join in, and they do. So on our system, we have throughout the day there's scrolling functions. So they may be watching Golden Girls or Gunsmoke or Yankee Baseball. So we can superimpose a scrolling function on the bottom that says, hey, in 5 minutes you have a bingo game coming up. Or exercise program, it doesn't matter to us. It's just whatever they need, we provide. And so that's the beauty of Cortex.
Mm-hmm. Incidentally, speaking of the coronavirus pandemic, has it impacted what your product can do? For example, can a senior or can somebody using your product use it to arrange for getting the vaccine or getting a therapeutic at their local hospital? Or their local physician.
Well, yes, they're talking to their physicians, and the physician can call up. So, physician is on their computer, and they dial into Betty Smith, and they can do a two-way telehealth session with them, and they can arrange for getting their vaccines, some of them delivered, because let's face it, some seniors cannot leave their homes. So, yes, all of those services can be provided through our network.
We're speaking with Thomas Conroy. He is the chief executive of MedSign, one of the pioneering ventures of telehealth on the TV set. He joins us live here in the Big Apple this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. And happy you're joining us also for this 90-minute, very interactive edition, commercial-free, of the program All About TV's Current and Future. Simon Amabon with you also from New York. 64 degrees now at this very moment. And if you have a question or comment on our remaining minutes with Thomas Conroy at MedSign, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Again, Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll have two, possibly three, of the creator and producers of TV pilots that are now running at the American Black Film Festival going on as we speak in Florida, both in person and virtually. We hope to have Mazaya Moonsami. He is the creator, co-star, and director of the pilot Last Bodega in Brooklyn. Ashley Robinson, the producer of the Austin-based pilot The Electrics. We may have one more for you as well. Also on Friday's program, which also will be a 90-minute edition, Igor Epper. He is one of the vice presidents of Fit Movement, has some interesting thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going, interactive and otherwise. And we'll also have David Morgan, the president of the Multicultural Media Correspondents Association, has a special event, by the way, I believe, in Washington, D.C. next week. We'll talk to him about his thoughts on diversity on television and where multicultural television services are going. Thomas, we know that smart TV sets and smart devices are making health information available. We have PBS America Health channels, like two or three different services now that are running on smart TV sets and devices. There's the Able channel. There's Saltbox TV, which is aimed at seniors. We had the head of that service on a few months ago. And there's also interactive services like Peloton and Beachbody and others that are Apple Fitness Plus that are available through the smart TV set or smart device. When it comes to telehealth, though, it seems that the television possibilities are not getting as much play as telehealth through the smartphone, telehealth through watches and wearables, telehealth through products like Fitbit. What is your sense overall of where this telehealth TV marketplace is going? And are you shocked that it's not getting, that ventures like yours are not getting the attention that, let's say, wearables, watches, PCs, and smartphones are getting in terms of disseminating the ability to speak with your doctor or do all sorts of other health and wellness things?
Yeah, it's you got to take a look at our demographic. Our demographic is a person that's 65 or older, 35 to 40 million Americans, 700 million worldwide. And those, my dad will never use a smartphone. My dad will never use a computer. And I want to make sure he gets the services he deserves. And that's where, when you take a look at the Fitbits of the world and all of those devices, I can incorporate all those devices. So if somebody wants to wear, if I want my dad to wear a Fitbit to measure his heart rate, I just get a Fitbit, get the app, incorporate it into my system, and voila, I can see that data. You got to take a look at the demographics that are today. It's our number one, I won't say our feature, but it's our number one customer is those people I just mentioned. And then you have to think of those that are disabled. My goodness, some people, and a study was just brought out about how many people are disabled in this country, and it's bigger than I ever expected. Many of them can't use a smartphone or a tablet. But one thing that they do know is how to use the TV. And the second thing that you mentioned earlier, Simon, you mentioned about voice activation. And that's why we're really hard focused on making sure the product is voice activated for those people who are disabled. Another key feature here that I didn't mention is the fact that we just got a trademark, telelove. And then there's no doubt that it's talking to those people that need it the most and the people that are stuck in their homes. And COVID has proven that we have a serious situation here of our seniors being alone. They should never be alone. And that's where we focused on our intention, is making sure that the system is simple enough that every senior can use it. Is telehealth going to be used by everybody? Well, not everybody, but the ones that we believe need it the most, that spend the most amount of medical dollars, are the seniors, and that's our target market.
Yeah. Tom, why I'm bringing up this subject and why I think this is really critical is really three things. First of all, Brian Roberts, the head of Comcast, the parent of NBC Universal, which came out recently with their latest quarterly report, noted that one of the things he'd like to do with X-Class, the new TV sets, smart sets that he is distributing to retailers right now, is he wants to use it as a platform for interactive healthcare, interactive education, other advanced interactive services. Secondly, Parks and Associates, major media research firm, just came out with a study about telehealth that suggests that there is a very sizable audience, and not just seniors, that would be interested in perhaps using an interactive healthcare service, the TV set, on a regular basis. And the third thing is that there was an event here in New York, a health summit, dealing with the role of smart solutions to providing interactive healthcare and more of making homes hospitals, if you will, rather than going to the hospital. And it was interesting, there was a lot of talk about, again, the smartphone app, about Fitbit and other wearables, about watches like Apple Watch, and nothing about the smart TV set. And it also made me wonder, why isn't, with all these health applications on the smartphone, why isn't WebMD, why isn't other smartphone apps becoming TV apps, when it's very clear that more people are now watching tens of billions of hours of content and apps on their TV set as opposed to their smartphone? So it's just all these different factors came together to sort of, really wonder, why aren't we focusing more and having a bigger dialogue about the television role of telehealth?
Let's take a look at who's building the software apps, your kids, young folks. All they know is the iPhone. All they know is the iPads, and all they know is, these small little devices. But when you think about a fully integrated telehealth system, you have to be able to communicate with my demographic, again, who can hardly see, can hardly walk. One independence, the TV set is the perfect choice for it. So I'm not at all concerned about the folks out there. The iPhone is here to stay with healthcare products. It's for the demographic that they're going after. But when you talk about older people who are immobile, have loss of eyesight and hearing, the TV is a perfect place for them. And some of the folks out there, listen to what Tim Cook of Apple has to say about the TV set, and you'll see that I'm on the right. I'm positioning the company in such a way that the TV is going to be here for quite a while. And you talked about full integration of the home. When you take a look about a veteran who's been severely disabled as a result of war, going into these homes, and we're part of the Tunnel for Towers, Tunnel to Towers organization. We're here to help those veterans who are completely immobile live a wonderful life in the home through the TV set, and that's what we're doing.
Marvelous organization, by the way. I'm very familiar with Tunnel for Towers, Frank, the head of it, and what they've been doing
awesome.
The last couple of years to provide well-built homes, smart homes for veterans dealing with various disabilities. And their Gold Star families and so forth, and they really deserve a lot more attention than they are getting, although there are some networks like Fox News and others that are giving them great attention with their ads and other ways as well. But one thing I will say –
I did want to point out one other thing, though, that we just completed a white paper, a study on our demographics and the seniors. Nearly 90% of the seniors said they'd rather stay in their home and communicate with a physician than get in the car, go to the doctor's office, wait there an hour for a 10-minute to 15-minute Medicare session, travel all the way back. Now they can stay in the safety and security of their home, get quality health care brought to them rather than them having to go to get the quality health care and prove what they know best, their own TV set.
Yeah. Before I ask the last question, I do want to make one quick comment, personal thought. It's high time that if there's anything to take away from not only our discussion, but also our discussion with Fireside, it's this. The TV industry must have every industry conference, whether it is a conference just on television or it's a bigger one like the Consumer Electronics Show, CES, next January, or NAB. There must be conversations now, panel sessions about smart TV sets, smart devices, interactivity, telehealth, teleeducation, and the role the TV plays in them. It is time to not blow this off. It's time to showcase this whole universe of things the way it ought to be. We cannot have a situation like this past January where CES happened virtually, and despite a great job in terms of overall with the event, not one panel on smart TV functionality, not one panel, a telehealth panel that didn't have anything to say about TV, not one panel interactive television. That can't happen anymore. It is time for a full-fledged debate, dialogue about the potential of this medium in interactive ways and to really get everybody on board this, because this is a very, very important future for not only the TV industry, but for the nation. Before we go, Tom, last time you were here, you also looked at and shared about the desire to also do teleeducation with your product. What's happened on that front?
It's really interesting. That has become one of our key target markets. And, in fact, we were with the Secretary of Education last year. And, of course, COVID slowed it down. But the truth is we designed a system that can incorporate a mouse and keyboard that connects directly to Cortex system. So why that's so important is as you have children learning remotely at home and rurally, think about that, they can stay there in the comfort of their home with the keyboard that's connected to our system. And why is that important? Because it prevents cheating. And you can, whatever the input is of that child or any student, that keyboard is the link to our system, linked to the teacher in their, wherever the teacher may be located. So we have gone back to the Department of Education, provided them a proposal to deliver these systems to the inner city. So we're just waiting on that. And I'm glad you brought that up because that's an important piece of our system.
If you want to know more about MedSign, both with telehealth and teleeducation, as you just heard, here's where you go online, www.medsign.com. It's MedSign, www.medsign.com. Thomas Conroy, the Chief Executive of MedSign, thank you again for being with us. We're going to continue to follow what you're doing because there's a lot more to come in the world of telehealth, teleeducation, interactivity in general, and you're definitely on the forefront of that. We really appreciate you coming back aboard.
Thank you, Simon. And you're going to have a good friend of mine coming on next week, Andy Fickman. And I worked with Andy on two Disney films. And so it's great to hear that he's on board. He's a great director.
I'm looking forward to it. That's 1 week from today. And Christmas, again, is the program he's doing. It'll be on the Disney Channel December 3rd. Thomas, thanks again. Take care. All the greatest.
Thank you, Simon. Have a great one.
Thomas Conroy of MedSign joining me here in New York. Thanks to all of our guests for being here on the Marby Televised. We hope and I want to thank, again, Audible.com, our sponsor for letting us do this commercial free. Coming up Friday on Marby Televised, we'll have pilot makers from the American Black Film Festival, happening as we speak in Florida, plus from BitMovin Vice President Igor Ruppeter, and from the Multicultural Media Correspondents Association President David Morgan. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out the podcast available all over the place, including Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and the iRadio Podcast Network. And remember, check us out also, and we'd like to hear from you. I'd love to hear what you think about where interactivity is going. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. I do respond to what you have to say within 24 hours. Why? Because what you say matters now and interactively more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants. They are not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other streamers of this program. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's General Manager, Jay Sonnenberg, Head of Content. Website maintenance provided by PodSite, the Internet's new podcast destination. For more, go to podsite.io. Our web coordinator is guitarist Fakus. Marby Televised is brought today commercial-free by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook or two and more, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Make a great holiday gift for you or someone you love. But tomorrow be televised. I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your week. Back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, another Mighty Minution coming the way. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, and all of our other podcast affiliates. Whatever you're doing between now and then, please make it safe and make it great. Haven't been vaccinated yet? Go see your doctor, get your medical records, and then make a great choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.